You're listening to local and regional news produced by KMUN with help from our news partners. I'm Katie Frankowitz, and it's Tuesday, June 17th. An ordinance that would temporarily exclude people from downtown Astoria who are charged with committing certain crimes or repeat offenses is on hold until next week. After listening to nearly 2 hours of public testimony at a hearing Monday night, the Astoria City Council opted to wait to discuss and vote on the ordinance. They said they wanted more time for a robust council discussion. The city councilors will consider the ordinance at a meeting next Monday. Proponents of the ordinance say establishing enhanced enforcement zones will give police a tool to curb problem behaviors downtown that are impacting local businesses and organizations. Critics, however, worry it will unfairly target homeless people. They argue the ordinance will not solve the problems it aims to fix. Scientists say they've seen a surprising number of gray whale strandings this year during their migration up the West Coast, 13 so far in Washington State alone, more than twice the normal average. And they're expecting more. KNKX environment reporter Bellamy Palethorpe has the story.
Whale biologist John Kalambakidis says after the unusual mortality event that ended in 2023, scientists expected to see gray whales rebounding. More than a quarter of the population died from 2019 to 2023. With fewer whales around, available food should be enough. Instead, many still appear to be starving. Kalambakidis says it is alarming.
We're seeing unhealthy animals. We're seeing higher numbers of strandings. We're seeing conditions that suggest a continuation rather than a rebound from that mortality event.
He says they're also seeing some unusual behaviors. During a survey last week, they encountered three large groups of gray whales attempting to feed in and near Gray's Harbor. While this is an indication of possible adaptability, not all who try will succeed. I'm Bellamy Palethorpe reporting.
Wildfire season is underway in the Pacific Northwest, with a handful of fires already burning around the region. In Oregon, crews who normally work on structure fires are preparing in case they have to fight a wildfire. KLCC's Zach Ziegler reports.
Gravel hauling today. We gotta take a left. We gotta go up a couple hundred yards. Follow the driveway.
More than 100 firefighters from local departments around the state are gathered on the Bar 88 Ranch southeast of Molalla to freshen up on their wildfire fighting techniques. Simone Cordry Cotter is with the Oregon Department of the State Fire Marshal.
We're testing them and making sure that they know how to do all of their skills in essentially a controlled but live fire environment. And so we are also supported by the Oregon Air National Guard today.
That National Guard work involves helicopters that carry up to 500 gallons of water that they drop on fires or, as they will today, in spots that they want to moisten to help create a fire line.
Any questions about that stuff? Sweet, let's burn some things and do good work. Thank you.
After some quick instructions about where they're headed, firefighters head out to the day's main activities, a practice prescribed burn. The first step is a fire engine hosing down ground around the piles they'll burn. Then, Cordray Cotter says, crews will come through and begin burning some of the grass in the area.
What we've done is we've essentially created a wet and a black line that will keep that fire contained.
I want to burn off of his wet line, so I want to start with that number.
That next step starts with Alan Fitzpatrick, a wildland strategic planning manager at Portland Fire and Rescue, lighting a test fire in nearby grass to check conditions before he starts instructing crews on how to use tools such as drip torches and axe-like tools called Pulaskis to contain fire and create a containment line.
Do you guys hear all that crackling? You know what that is? That's the moisture in the cells, right? So our fuel moistures are still really high.
Among the firefighters here today is Brett Deedon, who works for Eugene Springfield Fire.
The new term out there is the urban conflagration. So our ability to be able to protect the periphery of the cities and be able to quickly engage in those conditions allows us to have better protection when when and if those fires directly go against the urban areas.
As crews move from burning mowed grass to large piles of downed vegetation, a helicopter enters the operation. It begins the 500-gallon water drops around the perimeter, maintaining that wet line that surrounds the black line. With the fires ignited, Fitzpatrick and the crews stay out of the helicopter's way and watch to make sure all is going as it should.
Working in the wildland-urban interface is something that is very much needed, and we don't have a lot of reps at that, right? It's one of those low-frequency but high-intensity situations. We've seen that a lot, right? In the last 10 years, we've seen an increase in that wildland-urban interface fire.
He says it's important for the public to know that, in situations like this, what they're seeing is, in his words, good smoke.
We're doing this in a very controlled way. I got 100 of my closest friends out here with me today who are professionals, right? And so we're able to put fire on the ground in a safe way to conserve fuel. We're putting smoke on the ground when we want to, in the conditions that we want to, where it's controllable, so that it's not that high-intensity extreme fire that we can't manage.
And controlling the plants that become fire fuel as the summer heats up and conditions dry out is an important step, he says. Whether it's crews doing work like this or a homeowner mowing tall grass and clearing out vegetation around their house. I'm Zach Ziegler, reporting from Malala, Oregon.
Just a heads up that tower site maintenance today could impact KMUN's broadcast intermittently between 11 a.m. and noon, and again later in the afternoon around 2 p.m. until 3 or 4 p.m. While the work could impact the broadcast, it will not affect our live web streams for KMUN, KTCB, and KCPB. You can access those web streams by visiting KMUN.org. For weather today in the Lower Columbia River region, a slight chance of rain in the late morning and afternoon, otherwise partly sunny with highs in the mid-60s. Rain likely tonight, lows in the low 50s. Tomorrow, rain likely in the morning, otherwise cloudy, then gradually becoming mostly sunny, with highs near 60. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy, with lows in the high 40s. You're listening to news from KMUN. To hear us on the air and catch national news from NPR, tune in to 91.9 FM. Morning news begins at 7:59 every weekday. And of course, you'll always find today's local and regional news here at KMUN.org. Thanks for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.